the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible, real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8
to 9:30 p.m.
Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Around me, I see prophecies fulfilled. Signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. My children, yeah, and at the midnight cry, we'll be going home when Jesus steps aside.
Good evening, this is Eben. We thank God for another Saturday evening. It's always a privilege to come your way. Indeed. Interesting times we live in. The song just playing, the intro song, Signs of the Times, is all around us, everywhere. Look at the news, look at the events happening in the world. Clearly something is not right in the world. Something is happening behind the scenes and something is also coming. But Christians, you know, we have to be in a better position to understand what is happening in the world. The believers, I mean, who act in despair and discouragement and worry and all. But as believers, we should be different because we have been foretold by God about these things way ahead of time in the word of God. So we shouldn't be surprised by the happenings in our times. Rather, these are the times that we should learn to get back to what the Bible says and trust fully in it, believe in God, live right. You know, we have to then know that the word of God is true, because if all that is happening has been foretold vividly in the word of God, then we should be encouraged by the fact that our word, the word of God that we read and believe in, is not just some fables, it's not just some stories written by some men, but these are inspired words of God, prophetic words of God unfolding in our times. We'll be looking at some of the news, some of the things happening in the world, and then we'll continue after that as well. You know, these are times, you know, the world is just shaking economically, financially, economically, socially, energy-wise, cost of bills, cost of living, inflation, depreciation, interest rate, everything. The world is just, you know, it's just teetering on the edge of all these troubling numbers and statistics. But we still have our hope, and we still find our hope in Christ, because we know the one who is in control of all these things. So I'm going to be with you from now till 9:30, and yeah, we'll be going through some of these things, the news and all that. A lot is happening in the world, a whole lot is happening, and the essence of some of these things is just to make sense of what is happening regarding the times. You know, sometimes people just have no idea what's happening elsewhere in the world. You know, we are just, you know, glued to our normal local news and local politics, and this one has beaten this one has kicked this one, you know. Local news is all that some people know. But we bring these dimensions of the things happening elsewhere for people, especially the believers listening to this station or this program, to understand and appreciate what is happening. Okay, so let's get going. Greetings to listeners elsewhere in Accra and Cape Coast, Accra, US, Ireland, and all the other regular listeners out there. Okay, so we start with this one. Scientists can't figure out why earthquakes keep rocking this small South Carolina town. This town called Elgin, in South Carolina. The U.S. Geological Survey has recorded more than 60 small earthquakes near the town since the first in December, and the largest being 3.6. And you know, all the shaking has fascinated geologists, who have said that this is the longest running series of earthquakes in recent South Carolina history. South Carolina's state geologist Scott Howard has been investigating these earthquakes with help from other experts. He said scientists refer to this phenomenon as an earthquake swarm, that is, a series of small earthquakes with no apparent main shock. They could be between 2, 3, 1, 2, and all that, the numbers, magnitude, he said. It just kind of bounces up and down. And you know, if you go to usgs.gov, you can see for yourself the number of earthquakes that have happened today, Saturday, 27th. You will see it for yourself. You go, if you are online, have access to the net, just usgs.gov, and then see the earthquakes that has happened today. And then you can see for yesterday, you can look for a week, look for a month, and then you look at the numbers yourself, and you'll be amazed what is happening on the earth. All right, so we have this next news that says that fears growing over outbreak of another virus is rearing its head in the part of the world, or one part of the world now. And of all the names, I mean, when I saw the news this week, I just couldn't stop laughing. So fears growing over outbreak of tomato flu as small children test positive. So fears are growing over the outbreak of tomato flu as small children test positive for the illness. It has prompted health officials in India to issue their first warning to parents, along with prevention guidance. Doctors say its symptoms cross over with many other diseases, including flu and COVID. It's been branded tomato flu due to the painful red blisters that erupt on the patient's body. More than 100 children across the country have been infected since the first cases were noted in May in Kerala. Some 82 children under age 5 have been reported in the southern state. Now, a further 26 cases have been reported in children as old as 9 in the state of Odisha, local media reported. And Tamil Nadu and Haryana are also have cases. And then the Indian Health Ministry has reminded people that the virus is non-life-threatening. However, in light of further cases being detected, they have issued testing and prevention guidance to all states. They have also urged parents to be extra vigilant when it comes to checking their kids, the Times of India reported. You know, more viruses, more pestilences happening and are going to happen. We were foretold. So we are not surprised when we keep seeing new cases and new whatever being, you know, reported in the news and in the world. You know, this week I saw one item. One man, he has COVID, he has monkeypox, and then he has HIV. I say, babe, 3 in 1. And it's like, you read the story, and he's a gay, he went to Spain, and you know, he had all those things unprotected. And it's like, and so far, it's interesting how most of the monkeypox cases is happening within their community, the LGBT community. And it's like, interesting how people see these things, and they won't see that then there's something wrong, there's something that is happening. Unfortunately, humanity has decided that they will go against what God says is wrong. All right, so we go to the next, which is very worrying. Half of China has been struck by drought in what is being called the worst heat wave on record. You know, I mean, the drought happening in some of countries now is serious. If you look at some of the news, and China, as we talk now, some factories are closing because, you know, those that depend on hydropower, there's no water, the dams can't power enough. So some factories are closing. So the economy of China is, you know, being affected. Is it? But China is the world's factory, I mean, as it's called. So when China is affected, eventually and invariably, it will affect the whole world. The supply chain crisis, which we thought was being solved gradually after the COVID issues and all that. But this drought issue is also going to worsen the supply chain issues again, which will compound and, you know, already it's serious. But let me read the news that says, half of China's vast territory is now experiencing drought, including parts of the frigid Tibetan plateau, official data showed, with more high temperatures forecast for hundreds of millions of people during the country's hottest summer on record. The world's second largest economy has been hit by record heat, flash floods and droughts, phenomena that scientists say are becoming more frequent and intense due to climate change. Me, I will say it all the time. I said it last time here. Yes, the change in the climate, but who is behind it? Is it man or is God? God is telling us something and shaking the world, but, you know, we will not attribute it to him. Scientists will say it's like human pollution and all that. But, you know, I say this because before the worsening cases of all these things happened, the Lord had already told some prophets. I mean, there's one, Raymond Aguilera, 10 years or so, 15 years ago, where the Lord told him, we'll get to the point where when it should be snowing, it will be hot. And when it should be hot, it's going to be cold. He's going to flip things in the world for people to know that he is God. And other prophets have given such warnings way back, some years back. So the streams of temperatures we are seeing, the streams of the swings, I mean, all that we are seeing, it's just the beginning. No, we've not. We are going to see worse things. You see, and God is doing everything to get the attention of the world. He is behind all. I mean, he is the creator. I mean, he has drawn an invisible line in the sand at the beach. So the water gets to this far and it goes back. He, God, has created it. What can't he do? We behave not okay, I'm not, but the world in general, the scientists, they now behave as if after God created these things, that's even for those who believe, but there are scientists who even don't believe in God, or that's a different case. But it's as though God, after God created these things, he has just left it and it's now automatic. It's just doing things on its own, or just nature is just operating by its own. God still can change things, and God can still do things. And that's exactly what he is doing, to get the attention of nature, humanity. But unfortunately, no. We are too stubborn to pay attention. So goes on to say that southern China has recorded its longest continuous period of high temperature since records began more than 60 years ago. The agricultural ministry said this week. Experts have said the intensity, scope and duration of the heat wave could make it one of the worst recorded in global history. A chart from the National Climate Center showed Wednesday that swaths of southern China, including the Tibetan Plateau, were experiencing severe to extraordinary drought conditions. The worst affected area, the Yangtze River Basin, stretching from the coastal Shanghai to the Sichuan province in China's southwest, is home to over 370 million people and contains several manufacturing hubs, including the megacity of Chongqing. Then the China Meteorological Administration predicted continued high temperatures of up to 40 degrees Celsius in Chongqing and the provinces of Sichuan, Jiangxi, and then Zhejiang on Thursday. China's State Council on Wednesday announced a 10 billion yuan subsidy to support rice farmers experiencing drought conditions, which authorities have warned pose a severe threat to this year's autumn harvest. A severe threat, you know, rice, China, they export a lot of rice to the rest of the world, that part of the world. I mean, rice is the major, they are a major exporter of rice. So when these are the issues, you know, it looks like nothing is happening behind the scenes. It looks like, oh, nothing that serious is happening. But it's more of like a perfect storm is being created gradually behind the scenes to the point where the ripple effect will just be visible to all. Then we have China produces more than 95% of rice, wheat, and maize it consumes. But a reduced harvest could mean increased demand for imports in the world's most populous country, putting further pressure on global supplies already strained by the conflict in Ukraine. Officials also called for a combination of measures to increase water sources to fight drought. First, ensure drinking water for the people, ensure water for agricultural irrigation, and the readout added. And then Wednesday, CCTV news evening broadcast showed trucks supplying villagers who lacked drinking and agricultural water in rural Sichuan and other provinces. Then the next one, this is from the World Economic Forum. And, you know, these are the power players. So they've written on their website today a very interesting article on this. Headline says, droughts are getting worse around the world. Here is why and what needs to be done. So the Po, that's Italy's longest river, that's Po. Italy's longest river has been a vital transport hub throughout history, helping the north of the country develop into an industrial powerhouse. But the king of rivers is now drying up because of the periods of severe drought. Experts say that it's almost three meters below the zero-gauge height, significantly below the seasonal average. The Italian government declared a state of emergency in five regions in early July because of the drought, described as the worst in 70 years. Around a third of Italy's population, that 17 million people, live around the Po, as well as more than half of the nation's pigs and cattle. The drought has threatened supplies of olive oil and risotto rice, which could raise prices by as much as 50%. Reports The Guardian, that's according to The Guardian, and these are two categories of sources for this water. No, that's a mistake. I'm coming. There are two categories of causes for this water crisis. One is the rainfall deficits of the last 3 years, and then the general rise in temperatures is also contributing. There is no doubt that climate change is having an effect, Italy's Prime Minister Mario Draghi said in a statement. Then the article goes on to say that drought threatens several European countries. That's a subheading. Neighboring France is experiencing its worst drought since records began in 1958. According to the Prime Minister, Elisabeth Borne, water restrictions are in places across much of the country, and the corn harvest is expected to be almost 20% lower than 2021. The Agriculture Ministry has said. Portugal recorded this hotter July since records began, and 99% of the country is in severe or extreme drought. Average temperatures were just over 40 degrees Celsius, according to the IPMA weather service, almost 3 degrees higher than the typical July average. Around 75% of Romania is affected by a drought. The country's cereal crop is predicted to drop by 30 million tons. Even further north, drought has been declared in parts of England, which is expected to result in restrictions on water usage. The National Drought Group says by 2050, some rivers could have up to 80% less water during summer, and temperatures could be up to 7 degrees higher or hotter as a result of climate change. July saw temperatures in parts of UK break the 40 degrees Celsius barrier for the first time ever. The BBC reported that the first 6 months of the year were the driest in England since 1976. Then it goes on to say drought is affecting other continents around the world. The Horn of Africa is experiencing its worst drought in more than 40 years, with more than 18 million people facing severe hunger in Ethiopia, Somalia, and parts of Kenya, according to the Food and Agriculture Organization. United Nations, UN, says drought affects Africa more than any other continent, accounting for 44% of the global total in its recent report, Drowning by Numbers, that's the report. These countries have experienced lower than average rainfall for four consecutive years, which has had a devastating effect on farming and food production. The FAO has launched an emergency relief and mitigation plan, and the United Nations Refugee Agency, UNHCR, is appealing for $42.6 million to deliver life-saving assistance to people affected by drought in the region. More than 43% of the U.S. was in drought at the end of July, the government's National Integrated Drought Information System revealed. It says over 130 million people at the time of posting are currently affected by drought, as well as 229 million acres of crops. 229 acres. Whoa. The U.S. economy has lost an estimated £249 million due to drought and related crop failures, according to the UN. And then goes on, the drought frequency and duration has increased by nearly a third globally since the year 2000, according to the UN. The climate crisis is fueling this, according to drought in numbers for the year 2022. It says more than 2.3 billion people around the world are currently facing water stress. Although droughts only represent 15% of natural disasters, they killed 650,000 people between 1970 and 2019. More than 10 million people have died due to major drought events over the past 100 years. The report goes on to say that by 2050, drought could affect more than 75% of the world's population. As many as 5.7 billion people could live in areas with water shortages for at least 1 month a year, and more than 215 million people could be displaced from their homes due to drought and other climate change-related factors. Then goes on to say again, changing our relationship with land and food. That's a final subheading in the article. So it goes on, we are at the crossroads, said Ibrahim Thiaw, Executive Secretary of the United Nations Convention to Combat Desertification, says in the foreword to the report. We need to steer toward the solutions rather than continue with destructive actions, believing that marginal change can heal systemic failure. He also said in a tweet that land restoration is one solution to the problem that needs urgent investment. However, the report also points to several success stories. Farmers in Niger have substantially reduced drought risk by creating new agroforestry systems on 5 million hectares of land. Average costs have been below $20 per hectare. Vegetation cover has increased over several million hectares of land in the Sahel over the past 25 years due to interventions such as changes in tree management and tenure. And the adoption of drip irrigation has provided significant benefits in drought-prone provinces of Vietnam, Cambodia, Indonesia, and others. And on and on. This week I watched one report in Texas where cow owners, averagely they said they sold a cow for $800. But because of the drought they're experiencing, that they can't even get grass to feed their cows. Some herders are selling their cows for as low as $70 just to get rid of the animals before, because they can't feed them. And it's serious. You watch some of the reports. So it's just a troubling time for the world. Troubling time for the world. All right, so let's get into this. Wars and rumors of wars where Israeli airstrike in Syria destroyed a warehouse containing over 1,000 Iran-made missiles. Whoa. The airstrike on the Syrian city of Masyaf, which was attributed to Israel on Thursday, struck a missile warehouse containing over 1,000 Iranian-made missiles, the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights reported on Saturday. The warehouse, located within the Syrian Scientific Studies and Research Center complex in the city, stored thousands of medium-range and surface-to-surface missiles assembled under the supervision of the IRGC, that's the Iranian Revolutionary Guards, their expert officers, according to the report. Syrian air defense systems were activated in northwestern Syria on Thursday afternoon, with Syrian state news agency SANA stating local forces were confronting hostile targets above the Masyaf. Later, the agency reported the alleged airstrike to be an Israeli attack. According to the report, 14 Syrian civilians sustained injuries with varying levels of severity, severe following the airstrike, in addition to casualties reported among the Iranian-backed militias officials, guarding the place. In addition, multiple fires broke out in areas surrounding the Masyaf due to the shrapnel from the explosions of the warehouse reportedly targeted by the IDF, that's the Israeli Defense Forces, with nearby civilian houses and property suffering material damage as well. You know, Israel has always been monitoring its Syria. So anytime Iran maybe secretly brings missiles or they finish assembling it, you know, they have their spies and all, then they just fly their planes, go and destroy, and then they go back, clean their mouth as if they've not done anything. And then, but everybody knows they are the ones doing it anyway. But it just, the tension is mounting in the Middle East. You know, Iran is really, really bracing to attack Israel. But this week, a report came out from Israel. It came out, not directly from Israel, but a Saudi report that showed that a few weeks ago, Israeli Air Force planes were able to enter Iranian territory without being detected. And that is a major blow because they've been practicing going to attack the Iranian nuclear plant for some time behind the scenes and all. So to successfully breach their air zone or their territory without being noticed or shut down is something which will get the Iranian government really, really, really worried. You know, as to why they said this issue came up in the first place, I don't even know why they should even leak or talk about such a sensitive thing. But it just shows that tension is mounting. I mean, one day we'll wake up and the Middle East will just be on fire. I mean, Israel being attacked by Iran, or Iran, Israel retaliating. Hezbollah is really gearing up because Hezbollah has been bragging and boasting that they have several thousands of missiles provided by Iran ready to attack Israel. So it's just an open season. Anything can happen there. Well, let's go to the mother of all wars now. The war that has become the main reason why everybody is putting their blame on Russian-Ukraine war. Everything, Russian-Ukraine war. But it doesn't seem this war is ending now, anytime soon. The reasons I'm coming to tell you is why I believe it's not ending anytime soon. The first news item. Russia masses more than 400 planes and 360 helicopters on border with Ukraine. I say, you call round two. Round one has been, really, really speaking, they've really suffered a lot of losses. It's not gone according to plan at all. So they are regathering and then relaunching, about to. So according to a new report from Yahoo News, there are currently more than 400 Russian planes and about 360 combat helicopters near the borders of Ukraine. And they say there is a group of Russian planes near our borders. More than 400 combat. There are also 360 helicopters. More than 150 of them, which are attack helicopters, such as the Ka-52, a multi-role attack helicopter that can operate in any weather condition. Then he added, that's the according to the Yuri spokesperson for the Air Force Command for the of the Armed Forces of Ukraine at a briefing 25th, that's this week. So he said, he added that Russian occupying forces are actively using tactical aviation, fighter jets patrol in the airspace of Belarus, Russia, and temporarily occupied territories, as well as waters of the Black and Azov Seas. So A-50, a long-range radar detection aircraft and L-22 relay aircraft are constantly in the skies. And then the next news says Putin orders increase of 137,000 Russian armed forces. So Russian President Putin signed a decree on Thursday increasing the size of his country's armed forces by 137,000 men. As the Kremlin's war in Ukraine passed the 6-month mark, Putin's decree will increase the number of soldiers in the Russian armed forces by about 10%, up from 1.01 million to 1.15 million. A copy of the order on the Russian government website says it comes into effect on January 1st, next year. It was published online and reported on by Russian state media, but no reason for the boost in troop numbers was immediately given. It comes just a day after Putin's defense chief acknowledged the Russian military campaign in Ukraine has stalled. Russian forces failed to capture the capital, Kiev, but now control large swaths of Ukraine's south and east, where Moscow has refocused and most of its has refocused most of its forces in the industrial Donbass region. And then the last of the series, the third one, Russia and Ukraine war reached dangerous level. Zelensky vows to take revenge. A nuclear plant disaster risk. So that's one headline. So the president of Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky, has vowed revenge on Russia after Putin's forces rained missiles down on a train station, killing 25 people, including 11-year-old boy, in a savage Independence Day attack. So they celebrated their Independence Day this week. And the boy was killed when a missile struck his house in the shopping, and 25 people died later when rockets hit the rural town's railway station and set fire to 5 train carriages yesterday. According to Daily Mail, the small town of 3,500 people lies in the Dnipropetrovsk region, the scene of intense recent fighting between the Ukrainian and Kremlin forces. Zelensky said in the state's late 9th address that is our pain today. Then, as of this moment, there are 25 dead, 5 of them burned in a car, an 11-year-old child, and a Russian missile destroyed his house. So he goes on to threaten and says that they would retaliate. So you see, it goes on and on and on. Clearly, the war is not ending because both parties are not going to give up that easily. And so far as that war goes on and keeps going on, then you know the consequences. The world economy, for some people like Ghana, they will always have our reasons for the Ukrainian war. Our problems started before the Ukrainian war anyway. Okay, so we have the next one that says the UN General Assembly moves closer to adopting resolution declaring abortion a human right. And as for the UN and their evil deeds, so the delegates at the UN General Assembly are finalizing negotiations on a resolution that would require all UN agencies to declare abortion a human right, reportedly due to pressure from the European Union and the Biden administration. Anka hokra anka. That's what Biden administration. Everything evil. So the resolution contains language about abortion that has reportedly been rejected in other resolutions over the past decade, as the Center for Family and Human Rights reported earlier, is being considered for an adoption by the end of the month, according to CFAM, that's the Center for Family and Human Rights. The resolution declares that governments should secure access to safe abortion as a matter of policy and ensure the promotion and protection of human rights of all women and their sexual and reproductive health. Western countries backing the resolution reportedly forced the inclusion of this language, although a Japanese diplomat leading the negotiations stated that delegations could not alter the language on abortion. It remained despite repeat objections, according to CFAM. The resolution's language does not outright declare abortion as an international human right and includes the caveat where such services are permitted by law. The European Union and the U.S. governments are trying to undermine the long-standing consensus of the General Assembly that abortion is an issue that should be decided at the national level without external interference from the United Nations. Stefano Genani, the Vice President of Legal Studies at CFAM, said in an emailed statement to the Christian Post on Monday. Genani said that both had done this intermittently for over 30 years, but he believes that they have made it a priority now due to the U.S. Supreme Court's reversal of Roe v. Wade in June. The High Court upheld Mississippi's 15-week abortion ban in a 6-3 ruling in Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization, declaring that the U.S. Constitution does not confer a right to abortion. The decision returned the power to make laws governing abortion back to the individual states. The issue isn't just about whether abortion should be accessible as a matter of human rights or not. It's about protecting the integrity of the international aid, Generini wrote. Until now, the General Assembly consensus was that government should help women avoid abortion. So Generini believes there will be a pressure on women to abort if the UN considers adopting the resolution as part of its response to sexual violence. Abortion is cheaper than providing health care and social support to mothers and their children, he told Christian Post. There is an inherent tension here. No woman should ever feel pressured to abort by government or international agencies. Delegates noted that the EU appeared to be rather aggressive in its negotiations, which is not standard protocol, according to CFAM. The main sponsors of the resolution typically facilitate negotiations, and they do not negotiate it themselves. Another apparent break from tradition is the term safe abortion, which appears in the resolution, as UN member states have not widely accepted the phrase. Roughly half of the voting members of the Human Rights Council supported Egypt, Bahrain, and Saudi Arabia's proposed amendment to delete the term. Currently, those countries ban or impose restrictions on abortion. In Egypt, abortion is prohibited under the articles, blah, blah, blah. They listed some articles there. And then, as the World Health Organization reported in May 2017, abortions in Bahrain can only be committed after authorization from a health professional and in an authorized facility. So, you know, these countries have their restrictions already. So the progressive Western countries' efforts to promote safe abortion is at odds with the consensus of the General Assembly, defined during the 1994 International Conference on Population and Development, according to CFAM. The caveats adopted during the Cairo conference states that the UN should not make any determination on the matter of abortion. They add that government should help women avoid abortion and focus on helping them provide for their children before and after birth. But pressure, America and European pressure, the evil that people do. So the last news item, then we are done. At least common sense is prevailing somewhere. World Boxing Council bans trans-identified males from competing against women. You know, in recent times, we've had news of, you know, men, heavily well-built men, who say they are women, and so they want to compete with women. Oh, this generation. You know, seriously, when you look at some of the news, you see the shoulders of this so-called woman standing there, and then says he's come to compete with women. I mean, it's me, what I don't understand is the women who decide to compete with them. Because left with me alone, as soon as, well, we have to compete with a man who says he's a woman, okay, then run alone. All of us will draw. You see, that, but you know, the pressure from the media, they fear the intimidation. They'll be called homophobic. They'll be called all sorts of names. They'll be branded anti this, anti that, and so that intimidation and the pressure from the system. So you are going to run a race knowing you are not going to win, but well, you don't want the media to attack you, you don't want to be called you are homophobic or you are transphobic, whatever words they would use. But you see, it has never made sense, and it will never make sense. But at least good that World Boxing Council, they are doing the right thing. So briefly before I finish, says the World Boxing Council has announced a new policy that requires participants in the sport to compete against members of their biological sex as the debate about men competing in women's sports continues. In a statement Monday, the WBC, one of the organizations that oversee professional boxing worldwide, issued a statement, guidelines, regarding transgender athletes' participation in the professional combat sports. The statement published on fightsnews.com declares that boxing matches should only occur, quote, between two equally matched competitors, unquote. That is it. I mean, that's common sense at work there. You know, but it's saying common sense is not too common in these times because you clearly see the abuse of this transgender thing, you know, always having to have their way and all. But the world has changed. I mean, that's the world we are in. And it's so confusing now. Look at the way things are going. Good is bad, bad is good. And everything turned upside down. Confusion and all that. But in the midst of all this, I mean, we just know as believers that God is in control. I'll be back after this song. We'll be right back. indeed God is in control. You know, if you look at the state of the world, you know, state of Ghana, let's limit ourselves to where we are largely. I mean, listeners mostly are, I mean, Ghanaians or Ghanaians. I mean, people are listening in Ghana. You look at the situation in the world, in the country, and all that. Let me just start by reading a message someone sent me this afternoon. He's a client stroke friend, and put it that way. So, actually, he sent it in the morning, but it was in the afternoon that I saw it. So, he then says, "Good morning, need your suggestion about something. I have set financial goal here, and I have not been able to achieve it despite all my business strategies. I don't even know what to do again. Some of my friends," this is where the key thing, "some of my friends are even advising me to go for spiritual powers to help me get 30,000 CD projects. My financial demands have even increased and all that." So he was asking me my opinion. And seriously, I was worried when I saw this because, you know, when... You know, there are some things which you know is good, is bad. This is good, this is bad. But when someone now decides to ask someone's opinion about it, that means, well, he's thinking, the pressure is on. Is it good? Is it bad? I'm not too sure. Should I do it? Should I not do it? And now that is the state of the system. There's pressure in the system. There's a lot of depression. People are really confused. People are worried. People are stressed. There's so much anxiety, the uncertainty. You look at the bills, the cost of living. There's no end in sight about, I mean, the inflation numbers. And so this pressure is mounting. Are we going to continue holding on to our faith, still trusting God, still believing God, or we are going to start looking elsewhere? Like this, I'll ask him later, those friends who are giving this advice, are they Christians? And I can most likely they'll be Christians. Because this is the state of the church now. This is how Christianity has become. It's like, well, serve God a little where it's convenient. And when God delays and God is not responding, you also look at the other side. This is the standard now. You see, so if his friends had given him this advice, so my response was, of course, well, I'll never tell him he should go into that. But then the truth is, this is how people are thinking. This is how people are looking at alternatives. God is slow. God doesn't respond on time. The situation is dire and all that too. Well, man has to survive. So anything goes. Anything goes. We don't care about the consequences and all that. I mean, let me just read my response. Where is it? I said, yes, the challenge is there's no money in the system. So businesses, the business climate is tight. People are cutting back on things like the services you are providing that they can do without. That is the real truth. It's not a spiritual issue. As for those friends giving that evil advice, do they know the consequences of those monies? Don't listen to them. That's what I responded to him. Later I'll talk to him on phone, but this is just the WhatsApp message I responded to. But you see, this is the challenge. Can we stand the test of time? I mean, when the heat keeps increasing, when the situation keeps going downhill, can our faith keep us going? Or will also give up? And it's like, be like Job's wife who, well, curse God and die anyway. Because when now people cannot stand again, then they begin to look elsewhere. Just as the advice from this friends. And this is the reality. This is the reality. Because, see, let's get into something that Jesus said. Let's start from there. Matthew 28, verse 20. Then goes on to that, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I am with you always. You know, sometimes it's very challenging because it seems as though God is not around again. It seems as though God is not hearing our prayers. It seems our prayers are just not going beyond the ceiling. And it becomes very frustrating. We become disorganized. We become depressed. We become fearful. We become worried. You can use all the words to describe your situation. And then now, the voices will begin to come in. Like Job's wife, curse God and die. Oh, I mean, leave God. There are solutions elsewhere. Don't you see it? Other people are going and then they are working. Things are working for them. They say the economy is bad, the economy is tight. But don't you see others are doing their businesses and they are prospering? Do you know what they are doing behind the scenes? You need to go and ask and go and do some. Just as this advice being given to this friend. You see, this is how the devil now will begin to take advantage of the situation. So the bad economic situation becomes a fertile ground for the devil because he now will take advantage to convince you why you cannot go on serving God at this critical moment. He will give you reasons why God is failing you. And so you should not continue going that way again. Find an alternative. Don't you see? Look at others. Look at, you see, the devil is very good at this game. He is very good at this game. And you see references. Just when you are even worried and you are still contemplating to do or not to do, to go or not to go, he would arrange and make sure you meet people, you see people who is like, whoa, it will even tempt you the more. Because someone you've not met or you knew things were not good for him, and then suddenly the devil, because he sets you on a path of distraction and he wants to convince you, he will arrange to get you more convinced. So you meet someone you've not seen in a long time, like, and you see him in a nice flashy car, and it's like, oh, what is happening in business? Oh, God, they will use God somehow. You know, God is good. God has blessed me. This, that. Oh, so I can help you. See, these are the ways the devil will arrange for you. Then now the pressure begins to come tight on you to leave God and go the other way. But he will tell you, you don't leave your God. You just still keep your God and just look the other way small. This is just a short-term measure. You can still go to church. You can still call yourself a Christian. You can still go to your meetings. You can still join your prayer meeting. You can still go to choir rehearsal. It's like you keep your standard Christian life and activities and just add this as a backup solution. And these are the times where the devil is going to use these strategies because the system is going to get worse. I mean, I've been saying it, I've been telling listeners right from the beginning of the year that this year is a roller coaster year. From now onwards, not only this year, that's the truth. I mean, I say it as a test, but that's the real truth. Things will not improve. That one, that's the fact. Let's just understand it that way. Per Bible prophecy, things are just going to get worse and worse and worse. So when we see things escalating like this, the truth is the Bible says these are the birth pangs, the early stages, beginning of sorrows. So we have to conscientize ourselves as believers and understand within ourselves that things are not going to get back to normal. That's a fact. But in the midst of this abnormal uncertainties and all that, what am I going to do? Am I going to hold on tight to my faith till the end? As the Bible says, endure, he who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Enduring to the end is the ultimate. Starting, there's no reward in starting a race. There's no reward. I mean, have you looked at Olympic Games? Then 100 meter lineup, they line up, they kneel. Just before the gun is shot, then they, okay, get up. They give everybody a medal, congratulatory medal, entrance medal, participatory medal. Then, okay, before you start the race, it's not done anywhere. No, there are no rewards for starting a race. There are no rewards for starting a war. So you finish, the glory and the crowning moment is at the end of a successful endurance or a journey or a trip or whatever it is. So just starting the Christian race, yes, it's good to start, because you say you have to, before you finish, you have to start to finish. But the important part and the most critical thing and the target should be to finish. If it's just about participating, like in school time, secondary school, university, people write on the wall, I was here some. It's like, we shouldn't just treat Christianity, okay, I was once a Christian. Okay, me too, I was a Christian some. I mean, it's like, I was here some. So you have to, you're just passing through the Christian, like a Christian college, you to just pass through. Yes, me too, I've been a Christian before. There's no reward in that. You will not be crowned, you will not be given any reward in heaven because you were once a Christian. No, it doesn't work that way. The reward is at the end of the race, at the end of the journey. You know, you look at marathon races. I mean, I always talk about this sometimes where, you know, in Accra, those times, my secondary school, and then my area where I stay is quite close to secondary school anyway still. So it's in that, so that they pass through that area on their way to Dansoman, the finishing line. And you see them running this, got, it's, I think, 26 miles. Yeah, 26 miles. They're about 42 kilometers. And you, they start at Nungwa, the point. They'll run up, pass through 37, Bema Camp area, come out through Kanishi, Kolibu. And you see them, various parts of the area, you see them, some are struggling to just finish. And then, but you see some too, they've given up already, sitting behind in pickups or in buses. These are the people who say, we too, we're here, so they participated in there. So they just have the singlets, the Milo Marathon singlets. You too, say that, yeah, you too, you joined. So you get some Milo to drink when he gets to the park. But there's no reward. There's no reward. They won't get any reward because they didn't finish. They didn't cross the line. You see, and the devil knows this very well. He knows this trick very well. So he is not really bothered about you being a Christian today only. He is more concerned about you finishing it. So if you can be a Christian today and tomorrow you give up the faith, oh, he will be very happy, because your Christianity today is not really a bother to him. It's your Christianity throughout, sustained Christianity till the end, is what is the real deal. So his effort is to ensure that he can derail us at any point in time, given any opportunity that comes his way. And we find ourselves in a time where the world system is presenting itself as a perfect opportunity, the fertile ground for falling away, for people's love to grow cold, for people to start betraying God, for people to start blaming God, for people to give up the faith, for people to get into the world fully, people to be lukewarm, people to go and seek help elsewhere outside the mandates or like the prescribed ways of doing things, going looking for malams and all. I mean, the world system is presenting that perfect opportunity. It's like the perfect storm. The pressure is mounting here, there. September is coming, a new month with new pressures, new bills, utilities going up, cost of living will still go higher again, inflation, August inflation will go higher by all means. You see, so the numbers are not improving. So the pressure will be mounting. And ultimately, with all these numbers we talk about, the salary is still, I mean, where it is. So you can see that you are worse off, because everything is increasing except the most important one, the salary, is where it is. So things are just not getting better. And this is the pressure that Christians will be faced with, are already facing with, and are going to face it more in the times ahead, that our faith will be questioned. Are we still going to hold on to our faith, or will be tempted to look out? We'll be tempted to give up. We'll be tempted to depend on things that we know does not glorify God. Get into lifestyles which will not glorify God, but just to make a living of survival. This is the season. So we've entered a very dangerous season because it's a recipe for falling away. Oh yes, the season we are in now. And you see, let's take note of something. The falling away, the devil is so cunning. He won't tempt you to just fall away just one time and it's like, oh, you just leave the faith. You rarely have few people, instances where somebody is a Christian today, they may be out of some serious offense, he just gets angry that I'm just leaving the faith complete like that. Like, it doesn't happen that often. Most people who leave the faith, they leave gradually. And that's where the danger is, gradually. So he is active, he's born again, speaking in tongues, active, doing this for God, blah, blah, blah. And then the withdrawal symptoms starting. So maybe used to pray 2 hours a day, used to fast once a week. Now starts reducing the prayer, drops to 1 hour, drops to 30 minutes, drops to 10 minutes, sometimes now 5 minutes. Even sometimes gradually no prayer at all. Used to read your Bible, study the word, meditate, hold the Bible, think, pray with it, pray over it, pray. I mean, but now, even a Bible verse, you don't even have an interest in it again. So, you see, it's a gradual process of you are getting lukewarm. It's not just a one-time, like, overnight, suddenly. No, it's a gradual thing. So it's just like hot water. You heat water in a kettle or in a pot or in a can, whatever it is. Yes, boiling. You turn off the heat, like the gas, turn off the electricity or the stove, whatever. And now just leave the water there. Go and come. That same boiling water that was, bubbling all over in the can and the pan or whatever, is calm now. And then you realize the temperature begins to drop. It drops below 100 cc, 100 degrees Celsius. And then it keeps dropping further. Depending on the external temperature, you realize it will be dropping. If the weather is very cold, it will be dropping faster. So by the time you realize that water is no longer hot, boiling, that can burn you again, now you can put your finger in and it's like, oh, it's okay. And then after a while, that same boiling water is now cold. Because the fire was not sustained. When the fire is turned off, and in this case, when the Holy Spirit is removed out of the equation, we separate ourselves, we don't allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. And we start doing things on our own. We start getting more, like the flesh is now dominating us. Then it's a gradual process of we cooling down. Our heat begins to go down. Lukewarmness begins to rear its head. And see, it's very dangerous because when we get into that lukewarm state, you see, the devil knows that he cannot get you to fall for some temptations when you are very hot. No, he knows it. And the devil is very patient. He can postpone some temptations till the right opportunity. So knowing that you are very hot on fire today, if he brings this temptation, no. That one, you immediately reject it. Hey, you would speak in tongues and bind and cast away and all. So he's very strategic with his moves. So you rather focus on drawing you from your hot level to the lukewarm level. And now when you become lukewarm, there's less prayer, there's less Bible, there's less spiritual gathering, going to church, everything, less. Now you can have some voices like this friend's message that he sent me coming to you or sending you, talking to you. Now these are the voices. That's why now the devil starts introducing you to the temptations, because now it becomes perfect, because your defenses are very weak. If care is not taken, you cannot resist it. So that's why it's very important we take note of these times we are in, and not allow the devil to take advantage of the situations we find ourselves in. Yes, things may be difficult, things may be hard, things may not be comfortable. I mean, we all know the struggles, the challenges, and all that. But in the midst of the storms, we should be careful not to give the devil a foothold in our lives. We should guard our faith jealously. We have to do everything to ensure that the devil does not undermine our faith in these turbulent times. Because he will take advantage, for sure. That one, we should know our enemy. I mean, the Bible says we are not ignorant of his devices. But, you know, sometimes Christians, we are ignorant. But we should not be ignorant. In this case, we should not be ignorant, because we should know that the devil will try to strike through these circumstances where things are difficult. You have bills to pay, income static, technically. But bills are soaring higher and higher and higher and higher. Everything off the roof and all. How do you survive? How do you do this? How do you do that? See, so the pressure will be real. The pressure is real. So then he begins to take advantage of it. But in all that is happening and all that will happen, let's pray for the grace to resist, to endure whatever, to stand till the end, not to compromise. Because that is the main strategy we use, cause us to compromise in the midst of the storms. And we should do our best to stand our ground. Because things, as I said, that's the world we are in now. I mean, we can't really, there are some things we cannot change. But we can look up to God for his direction. That's, I like this, let me just read it, Psalm 121. I just love it too much because it really gives, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Yes, my help cometh from the Lord, which made the heaven and the earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. You know, and just like the mother or caretaker watching keenly over the child walking, ensuring that the child does not slip or fall. So when the child is about to fall, the mother holds the child quickly, safely. This is how God keeps his eyes over us, to ensure we don't fall. It may look like we are going to fall, but he'll keep us. It may look like, I mean, you've seen the worst of all, but he will still be there. He will still be there at the right time. You see, we should just be strong-hearted, encourage ourselves, be determined that no matter what, you know, it's like someone who is going to a military academy for the first time, like enlisting in the military, he was told that it's not an easy thing. He's determined that he is going to do it. So he goes. That determination, that no matter the difficulty he's going to endure at the camp, at the, you know, the all the training, the sleeplessness, the grilling, all that, no matter what, he's determined to come out of the academy successfully. So it doesn't matter the pain. It doesn't matter the, that's why they have endurance, I mean, sessions. They are breaking you down to the point where they want you can endure. But a determined man, young man going into the military, is so determined that no matter, of course, some fail, some leave eventually, some quit because they can't again and all. But majority pass out all the time. We see military, I mean, coming out like from the academy, celebrating, congratulating the commander-in-chief, congratulating them and all. So they pass. It's difficult, but yet they come out. The past. So let's see, the Christian faith is just as Paul likened it, like we are soldiers. There are times of discomfort, there are times of pain, there are times of difficulties and all, but they are determined to endure. and let's see ourselves that way, and let's tap into the strength, the power of the Holy Spirit to help us to endure these difficult days and these difficult times. No, we cannot just gloss over and say that, there's nothing happening, all is well. I mean, there's nothing wrong. If all is not well, there's nothing wrong with saying all is not well. But believing in God that He will see you through, He will see us through, He will be with you, should be our focus. Yes, I mean, the reality is there. I mean, the reality is staring at all of us. We see it. But in the midst of all that, our hope should be in God. Our trust should be in God. So it doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter all the things people can say, the negative things, the naysayers and whatever. That, oh, as for God, yeah, it doesn't help. This. People will say all the things. You'll be determined to hold on to the end. And even when it looks like God is not coming to your aid, we shouldn't still give up. Ultimately, because we know that the ultimate end is what matters. And if you start a Christian race in 1990 something, 2000, whatever, you've been a Christian all these years, and then at a point like this, you are going to leave the faith and quit and turn your back against God. Was it really a worthwhile journey? No, it's not worthwhile. Because when it matters most to finish and finish hard, to get rewarded at the end, you missed out the opportunity. And see, we should not be deceived at all. You can go and come. It's one of the devil's tricks and lies. It's like leave. You can go on a little sabbatical leave, leave the faith a little, and then when things are convenient, then you come back. It doesn't work that way. Yes, it works. Some can go and come back, but it's not everybody who gets the opportunity. Some leave and they die. Some walk out of the faith, and that is it. The devil, you see, he's not interested in your comforts on this earth. He's interested in you getting to hell. So whatever tricks he can use to draw you out and then possibly strike, that's the whole thing. So we should be very careful of the tricks he'll be. Oh, you can leave the faith a little, sabbatical leave a little, and then you come back again and take up your role as a Christian. You may go on your way coming back. He'll take you. The devil will take you. Oh, yes. He is smarter than we think. So we shouldn't allow him to deceive us. He's a master deceiver. He's been playing this game for centuries. He knows the game more than any of us as human beings. Because he is a spiritual being, so he's more intelligent than us. He's more knowledgeable. He's seen things all through the centuries. He knows how to play the game and win. But we are guided by the Holy Spirit, so we have a counter knowledge that is more superior. So we should depend on the Holy Spirit. We should depend on the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit more than ever before. We are in a season where we need Him daily. We need Him to direct us. We need Him to guide us. We need Him to everything. We need Him daily to lead us, to guide us, to protect us. Everything. Because the season is very rough. That one, no doubt about it. It's not just rough physically, economically, and all, but spiritually, behind the scenes, a lot is happening. You realize, I mean, a lot of people are becoming weak spiritually. People cannot pray. People cannot read their word. People are losing interest in spiritual things. You see, so there's a storm behind the scenes, a spiritual storm. And already people are falling. So perhaps if you are listening and, when you gauge yourself, you realize, no, Charlie, you are going down. Your spiritual life, your prayer life, interest in spiritual things have declined and all that. Awaken yourself. This one, self-examination, and then awaken yourself and get back on your knees. Get back on your knees, pray to God, seek His help, forgiveness, repentance. Revive yourself and get back. Get back. Because we shouldn't allow room in a foothold. We shouldn't even allow an inch. Because when the devil gets a little inch, the leg will be pushing forward, and then he'll get a stronger foothold. And once he gets a foothold, then he enters. He begins to manipulate and take advantage, undue advantage. Let's resist the devil, as James says. Let's resist. Let's not negotiate with him. Let's just outright resistance. Let's just not allow him to manipulate us. Because the days are such that it's either you are all for Christ, or then the devil will take advantage. Oh, yes, that's the season we are in. I'm almost done. I think messages. If you want to send your message, 0244-638-757. 0244-638-757. Sometimes the messages, when you are home before it comes, some come late. But if you send, then send it early. Okay, so let me just take a little breather and then I'll come back.
I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But sometimes I wonder what he can do through me. No great success to show, no glory on my own. Yet in my weakness, he is there to let me know. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Yeah. is perfect.
Wow, beautiful song by Steve Curtis Chapman. His strength is perfect. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You know, but sometimes I wonder what he can do through me. No great success to show, no glory of my own. Yet in my weakness, he is there to let me know. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. You know, these days, truth, a lot of believers, our strength is going down. But his strength is perfect when our strength is going down. He will carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in his power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. We can only know the power that he holds when we truly see how deep our weakness goes. His strength in us begins where ours comes to an end. He hears our humble cry and proves again. His strength is perfect. When our strength is gone, he will carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in his power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. So let's get back to him for him to strengthen us. This is Issues of Life. I'm Eben. God willing, next week I'll be coming your way. Thank you for listening. Good night.
Can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But sometimes I wonder what he can do.